Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money Members Club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. So Money Episode 241, Elizabeth Leamy.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You're listening to So Money, everyone. Welcome back. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Today's guest is a nationally known TV journalist, as well as a critically acclaimed author and nationwide speaker. You may have seen her on TV, Elizabeth Leamy. She's most known for contributing to the Dr. Oz Show and ABC News as a consumer advocate and money-saving expert. Elizabeth has been contributing to the Dr. Oz Show since 2013 as a consumer and investigative correspondent. And prior to that, she spent 9 years working as a consumer reporter for Good Morning America and other national ABC News programs. She still contributes to abcnews.com, where she writes a money column. And she's the author of two books, including Save Big, Cut Your Top Five Costs and Save Thousands, and The Savvy Consumer, How to Avoid Scams and Ripoffs That Cost You Time and Money. My favorite book is probably Save Big, because there she really talks about about not worrying about the little things and keeping your head stuck in the weeds, the financial weeds, but really thinking big and looking at your bigger expenses and how you can, with just a little bit of time and effort, shave off thousands and thousands of dollars a year and not really have to change your lifestyle as a result. Several takeaways from our interview today, including Elizabeth's most embarrassing money moment, like really embarrassing. And it actually, she laughs about it now, but at the time it really pained her. And I have to say, I can kind of relate to the story. She talks about how a college boyfriend helped her get out of debt. Isn't that nice? And we do touch on how to score big financial wins so you can keep enjoying your daily latte. Takeaways from that book, Save Big. Here is Elizabeth Leamy. Elizabeth Leamy, welcome to So Money. Excited to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you, Pranush. We've been planning this for a while, so I'm glad that we finally got around to it.
I know. Just for listeners out there, I have been trying to connect with Elizabeth for about a week now, but I've been having technical difficulties. First, I thought my laptop was crashing. Then I thought my mic was broken. It turns out the cord was faulty. So
the cheapest part of all, right?
The $4 USB cord needed to get replaced because when you do a daily show, I suppose it goes through some wear and tear. And Elizabeth, all this time, you've been very patient and so very happy and excited to introduce you to our audience. Although many people might already know who you are. You are a very familiar face on television, a well-known TV journalist. You've been a contributor to ABC News as a consumer advocate and money-saving expert, Dr. Oz Show, which is very exciting. Tell us about the Dr. Oz Show. That's re-airing now in the fall, and you'll be making some appearances for us. Tell us how that relationship came about and your role in that show.
Well, the Dr. Oz Show, I kind of do two things there. I do medical investigations for the show about, for example, procedures that maybe aren't as safe as we would hope. And then I also talk about being a good healthcare consumer. And I do think you, when you have the chance, if you're not having a heart attack or something, you need to be a consumer, not just a patient. And not only will that save you money, but it could save your life. So that's what I do for the show. And it's been, gosh, I guess this will be my third season with the show. It's been on summer hiatus and they're just kicking back into gear now. And I really enjoy it because, of course, nothing matters more to people than their health.
No, and health can be so expensive, especially when you're trying to plan for your future. What advice do you have for folks who they might be nearing retirement or they're concerned about affording healthcare in retirement, given that it's such a wild card?
That is so true. Yes. You know what? There are some calculators you can use that actually try to get at the true cost of healthcare in retirement. And that true cost accounts for the fact that Medicare won't cover everything. I think my favorite one last time I looked was an AARP calculator. And that's one place people can start. But then the other thing that many experts advise is just to add, you know, whatever you think the number is going to be, add another 20%, something like that, to give yourself some more pad for healthcare so that you can get the very best care, be in the best possible health, and enjoy your life.
We're going to talk more about money in a second, especially the way that you manage your money, Elizabeth. Curious to hear about that. But first, I want to know, how did you get involved in talking about money on the air? Is it something that you pursued primarily as a journalist or someone who was really interested in money? Or was it kind of a little bit of both? Or neither?
I'm laughing as you ask me this, because here's how I got involved in talking about money. My boss made me. I was a general assignment reporter in Tampa, Florida, and my boss wanted me to be the consumer reporter at the station. And at first I said no, and he came back to me and said, hello, I am the boss. So yes, you will be doing this. Little did he know, I had credit card debt at the time. I, you know, wasn't particularly financially savvy myself. I was math phobic, but I overcame all of that sort of on the job and on the fly. And I think that one of the things that's helped me explain money things to other people over the years is the fact that this stuff does not come naturally to me.
So you can relate. Exactly. So you can kind of, did you ever have like a, what was your craziest story about money, personal story? I always talk about this later in the show, like your craziest, your worst financial moment, your failure. Tell us about maybe something that you dealt with at an early age with money that made you ultimately so relatable.
Okay, bingo. Here we go. Ready for me to get embarrassed?
Yes. Yes.
I will gladly confess, because I feel like if I can have overcome this kind of knuckleheaded move, then anybody can learn about money and finance and do a good job. The freshman in college, I have my first bank account. Yes, we actually actively used them then. I'm showing my age. And I bounced a check at the local grocery store. And I thought, oh, geez, oh, gosh, you know, how did that happen? How embarrassing. So I did a couple of things. I asked my parents, send money. And I went back, you know, they did. And I went back to the store. And actually, I not only did my parents send me money, I got a check from some company, an apartment search service I had used that hadn't found me an apartment. So I got a refund. So I deposit those two checks. I'm good. I go back to the grocery store and I say, hey, gosh, sorry about that. I bounced the check, but I'm good for it now. Can I write you a check to cover the cost? Yeah. That check also bounced because the apartment search firm that I mentioned had gone out of business and their check to me bounced. And then a series of other checks bounced because I'm sure you know when you bounce a check, you get assessed a fee. And when somebody else writes you a check that bounces, at least at that time, you got assessed another fee.
Oh, man.
And, but here's the part that really, really is embarrassing. I finally figured out why I had bounced that first check. I had been carefully, scrupulously keeping the check register, just as my dad taught me, writing down every check I wrote, but I wasn't writing down ATM withdrawals. I mean, boneheaded, dumb, dense. But this kind of showed me that when it comes to teaching financial literacy to high school kids, and that's really what I was just getting into college, nothing is too basic. So hopefully there are lots of people way more savvy than me, but that was my big financial failure.
Yeah, nothing really is too basic. And if you're fortunate, you learn this early on in your life. I remember being in college and thinking that the ATM was my financial advisor, meaning I would get the receipt every time I withdraw money, and whatever that balance was on that receipt, that's how much money I thought I had left. But of course, the ATM is not this real-time machine. Like it actually didn't perhaps factor in that, you know, earlier that day you had made a debit charge at the grocery store and that charge hadn't cleared yet. So this isn't actually your balance. So I did that and I ended up over withdrawing several times. And this was before I had signed up for overdraft protection. And so, or rather, I had overdraft protection, which is a very misleading thing because it's got the word protection in there, but it does anything but. It allows you to basically keep on spending so it protects you from, I guess, not being embarrassed at the cash register and the lady saying, you can't buy this because you don't have enough money. And for that, you have to pay a fee. So I just say, don't ever sign up for overdraft protection because, it doesn't do you any favors.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I once signed up for overdraft protection thinking, oh, this will be all right. And what it was a credit card. And I didn't want or need another credit card. And I happened to know that having many, many credit cards wasn't great for my credit score. So I was furious because they hadn't actually disclosed to me that that's where the overdraft went, onto this credit card. Yeah, that's a sticky area.
So now, Elizabeth, you've written a couple of books. I really liked your first one about how to really have big wins in your life. Like, don't go after trying to skip your little expenses here and there, but really try to, for example, save on property taxes, refinance your mortgage, because those are the real home runs. What would you say is your overarching money philosophy stemming from maybe the two books that you've written?
Well, that would be it. To save big, not small. For me, at least at this stage in my life, this makes sense for me. I don't like to worry about every single latte or brown bagging my lunch. To me, those lattes with a friend are the little glimmers of pleasure between the big responsibilities that we all have. So instead, I do, as you said, focus on where we spend the most money, because that's where you can save the most money. And you can save thousands at a time if you focus on things like your housing, cars and other transportation, credit, interest on loans, groceries, and healthcare. Those are the top five American expenses. And I focus on those and I try to save a ton of money every now and then instead of eking out a teensy bit of savings every day.
And I remember when Save Big came out, it was very counterintuitive, not counterintuitive, but it was counter to what we were hearing blasted over all the airwaves, all the articles about skip this, skip that, how to save $20 a day, $30 a week. And here was Elizabeth Leamy saying, don't worry about that. Check your tax bill.
Well, yes. Well, so, you know, to me, it's way more exciting to save money on the boring stuff like car insurance, where you might save $1,000 in a year rather than skipping one coffee or one pair of really cute flip-flops like I bought today. If you do learn to save small, you can then roll that into things that bring you much bigger savings. So, for example, if you learn to save some on your groceries, which really adds up, then you can roll that savings into things like prepaying your mortgage, which can bring you 5- and 6-figure savings over time. So, you know, it's a balance and it has to be right for each person. But yes, everybody was talking about the latte factor and that. And I just wanted to make sure that people aren't sort of stepping over the $100 bills to pick up the pennies.
Don't step over the $100 bills to pick up the pennies. I like that. I like that. That's a good philosophy. What would you say is one pivotal money memory you had growing up, Elizabeth, that really impacted the way that you look at money, feel about money, and you think about money?
I would have to say my yard work business when I was 11 years old in Lucas Valley, California. My friend Karen Jacobson and I put an ad in the local newsletter saying, you know, yard business. And we would show up and these homeowners had hired us over the phone and we sounded very mature. But we were these skinny 11-year-old girls. But we worked our tails off, pushed my dad's non-electric mower, you know, the kind that's round and has those blades and you just use your own, you know, muscle power to push it. And we did yard work. And I don't frankly know how good at it we were, but people kind of felt a little sorry for us and kind of admired that we were going for it. And having my own money that I had made, that was intoxicating. Way better than any allowance I had ever earned. And I think that's the thing, is that power to earn if you work hard.
You also probably learned how to work with a business partner.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes. And Karen was a good little worker. So that's my favorite kind of business partner.
You just counted the money while she did all the hard work, right?
Well, hang on a second. I remember being on my knees pulling plenty of weeds.
Yeah. Good. What would you say is your so money moment along the same theme? I mean, it sounds like you had one when you were 11, but when you were a young adult or even more recently, what would you say has been your so moneyest moment?
I want to tell you a little story for this one. Can I do that?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay. When I was 27, back we go to the Tampa Bay area, I met this cute guy. And I was super impressed with this guy when we started dating him. He drove a BMW. He actually traded stocks. He was a stockbroker, financial planner. And, you know, I liked him a lot and I wanted to impress him. And so he offered to do a financial plan for me. And I thought, great, soon I'll be, you know, jet setting, trading stocks and so forth. And so, you know, some sort of a long form that you fill out and then it spits out the results. And the results basically were a page with one line at the top that said assets, and that page was blank. And then there was the page for liabilities. And that page had, you know, the credit card debt, the store card debt, this debt and that debt. Very, very unbalanced, lopsided picture. And this nice, nice guy that I had just started dating said to me, gosh, I guess there really isn't much to plan financially, planning-wise. And I said, but wait, I've got assets. I've got a used 1984 Toyota Camry. I've got a really cute dog. And look at all these shoes. And he was like, but look at all that credit card debt. I was mortified. But here's what happened. He and I put me on a spending freeze. This was his idea. I went along with it. No more shoes, no shopping, no dining out. And in about 7 months, I had paid off that credit card debt. And for once, instead of calling my parents and saying, send money, I called them up and said, guess what? I did it. I paid off my own credit card debt. They had bailed me out once before when I was getting out of college, and I knew I couldn't ask them again. And guess what? That was the first boyfriend my parents ever approved of, and that boyfriend became my husband.
We're
happily married today. Yes, for almost 17 years.
Oh, wonderful. I was going to say at first, like, who is this jerk that made you feel bad about having debt? And then it got better.
Yes.
He actually wanted you to do better, and he helped you.
Yes, he actually didn't really make me feel bad. He was kind of funny about it. But the key was having somebody, and really I think one of my peers rather than my parents, say to me, ooh, this is a problem, and you need to work on this. And I did. And, you know, I started doing things like anytime I had money, I sent it, even if there wasn't a bill due. And that made all the difference. And boy, I got out from under. I just dug myself out dollar by dollar. And boy, I didn't have it as bad as some folks do. But credit card debt is a disease. It can be really, really deadly. So
and it
I
can
got
keep coming back, right? It's like one of those viruses that never goes away. You know, if you don't really just hunker down, treat yourself the right way and do what you have to do so that it never comes back and just deal with it once and for all.
Well, you're right, because I said my parents paid mine off for me after college, you know, a couple thousand dollars, but I ran it back up again after college and in grad school. So it did come back and it was scary. And I used to have to keep track of when all my bills were due and, you know, what was the minimum balance and how could I juggle and afford to pay this bill this week and wait till next week to pay that one and so forth. And it's just such a pleasure not to have to do that anymore.
Is your husband's last name Leamy?
No, he is Chris Persinger. He's a CFP, and I lucked out when I met him because part of my financial education has been just here at home, the slow drip method.
Fantastic. Well, what a great partnership you two have.
Yes.
What is one habit that you practice that helps you with your money, Elizabeth? Maybe it's something that you do with your husband.
Actually, that is exactly it. When we first got married, we decided we would set a spending limit, an amount of money that either of us could spend on our own without asking the other for permission. But anything over that amount, we had to collaborate and agree. And that amount we still have a limit, but that amount has gone up over the years as we've gotten a little older and more prosperous. But I tell you, one, avoided a lot of fights, and I think money is one of the top things couples fight about. And two, sometimes with time and with getting that other person's permission, that expense that seems so important kind of fades away and you end up not spending the money. So that's really actually one of my favorite tips for couples, especially newlyweds.
So, you know, it's the benefits are twofold. On the one hand, it allows for some freedom, which alleviates fighting, but also it's a threshold. So if you're going to go over it, it requires a discussion. And then often that distance, even if it's just a 5-minute pause, it's why we say, you know what, when you're online shopping, leave the items in your cart, go get a glass of water, come back, you probably won't want it. And having that distance, or in this case, a conversation about the purchase might make you realize I don't really want it that much, because in the moment, everything you think you need and it's going to be impulsive. But so that's a good tip. I firmly believe in the ours, mine, and your account, three buckets.
Yes, I like that. And in this case, like you say, it does give you that freedom. But what I also love is that this tip can apply to anybody. And it's up to your personal interpretation. You know, maybe a young couple, maybe their limit is $100, $50. Mine's gone up, you know, from there over the years. It's really helped us.
Are you ready for some So Money fill in the blanks, Elizabeth?
Ooh, yeah.
You've made it this far. This is when you know you've really made it this far, and the rest is just downhill. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Can you tell me, what would you do with a million, if I won the lottery tomorrow, the first thing I would do is?
All right. I would use the principal to set up a charitable foundation, which then allows you to live off of the interest tax-free.
Excellent.
That's something I learned from my financial planner husband.
Yes. How convenient, by the way, to have a financial planner husband.
It is.
One thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is?
The danger of credit cards.
Mm-hmm. My biggest guilty pleasure that I spend a lot of money on is?
My house. Buying a nice one in Washington, D.C. in the first place, and then a stream of home improvement projects ever since. I am a home improvement guru.
Oh my gosh, I need to consult with you. We're undergoing renovations right now. We have a whole team, and oh my gosh, I'm not out of the weeds yet. I have to just, we're still in the demolition phase.
Listen, my parents are both architects, so I grew up remodeling, and here's architect humor. They say, who are the three professionals you need to hire as a married couple when you're renovating your home? And they are an architect, a builder, and a marriage counselor.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Have you been peeking into my life recently? Yeah. This has had a lot of layers of stress on top of being new parents and having been displaced because of the home renovations and, work obviously is stress in and of itself. But then on top of that, you've got the stress of the construction project. Oh my gosh. But I think that me and Tim have a philosophy. We don't want to just get through things. We want to thrive. Mm-hmm. Getting through is just not acceptable. Like that's not why you're married. You know, you want to enjoy every day as much as possible. And so when we thrive, I think that we could do anything together. Like, if we can thrive through this renovation project, like we're solid.
There you go.
We're good.
And you know what? There are some things to enjoy when you're displaced from your home too. When my parents finally, after all those years of remodeling, they built a house. So we lived in a temporary place for a year and we had the most relaxing, lovely year because for once we weren't remodeling or putting up any shelves.
Right.
We were just, enjoying each other on the weekends.
Yeah. We live in Williamsburg currently, which I thought was going to be convenient. It is not, but you know what? We're enjoying Williamsburg. It's a beautiful little area with so much diversity and we're looking forward to exploring. So there is that to look forward to. Elizabeth, what is one thing that you spend on that makes your life easier or better?
One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better, a cleaning person.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who helps out with that. You know what? I even had a cleaning lady when I was in my first job making $21,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's just something I don't choose to do. I'm a hard, hard worker. I work hard in lots of other ways and I hire other folks who are great at that and work hard at that.
Peace. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And when I donate, I like to give to blank because?
When I donate, I like to give to my high school, my undergrad, college, Go Bears, UC Berkeley, and Northwestern University, where I went to grad school for journalism school, because I really feel that I would not be the person I am without my education.
Me too. Although I went to journalism school and I firmly believe in that investment. I think it has reaped benefits in dividends. But I think today, if someone wanted to go to journalism school and spend the $90,000, yes, 90 that it is, I'm not so sure. I'd say, you know what, maybe put that in like a business degree or just go and put that in a portfolio and learn a language or travel. Like, I don't know.
All that you've learned since then. Well, I still am a fan. It's true. You do not need a journalism degree to be a fine journalist.
Well, to spend that much money.
Excellent people.
Yeah.
Yes. But I thought it was fantastic and just what I needed.
Perfect. Yeah. For me too.
I'm still grateful.
Yeah. No, I know. It's hard to be anti right now, but I think with the cost that it is at, it is hard to make it a rational choice. Okay. Elizabeth, last but not least, I'm Elizabeth Leamy and I'm so money because.
I am so money because money does not come naturally to me. I started out as this math and money moron, so feeling like I've conquered this realm and actually helped other people understand it feels really good.
Yeah, you're right there in the trenches with all of us. And I love how you said you started out as a math phobic person, and it took that handsome man driving the BMW to convince you to get out of debt. And we thank
him
for
it. Which, by the way, he bought used.
Okay, yeah.
He is a smart guy that way.
So money. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, and wishing you continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again to my fabulous guest, Elizabeth Leamy. For more about her, check out ElizabethLeamy.com. She's also on Twitter at Elizabeth Leamy. Of course, as always, if you missed any of this or want to read the interview, check out the transcript at SoMoneyPodcast.com, where we've also got the comments and so much more. And if you haven't signed up for my free gift, I'm giving away a free ebook. It's called So Money Secrets. Just sign up for our weekly newsletter, and that way you can also stay in touch with what's going on and stay abreast of all the fun news that's happening here at So Money. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even the same day with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.